There is a silent rebellion happening, not a protest, but a quiet collective retreat. Men are walking away, not from anger, but from a profound systemic exhaustion. It is the exhaustion that settles in when you realize your effort has been systemically devalued, that the energy you were taught to put into the world, to build and protect, is no longer seen as a virtue, but redefined as the expected bare minimum. They've learned that the goalposts for validation are always moving, and that modern love often feels less like a partnership and more like a performance where the rules are unclear and the prize is never guaranteed. So they stopped playing. They stopped trying to win a game that feels rigged, and in the sudden, profound quiet of that withdrawal, they found something the chaos of modern dating could never offer. Peace. This isn't about giving up on connection. It's about reclaiming their sanity. And we're going to explore why that hard-won solitude feels better to them than the promise of love ever did. This shift isn't a declaration. It's a quiet realization that the fundamental equation is broken. Men were taught that consistent effort builds connection, that loyalty creates intimacy. But the modern dating world often operates on a different logic. It's no longer about simple interactions, a dinner, a real conversation. It has evolved into a complex negotiation, a series of unspoken psychological tests. The man who tries to be reliable is often labeled boring or simple. This new dynamic, this endless audition, is the root cause of the withdrawal. He realized the effort he was investing wasn't building a connection. It was just fueling a one-sided performance. The game changed. It wasn't a tantrum. It was the only logical move left when he saw the emotional cost. He recognized that the currency of his effort was no longer valued, and pouring more energy into a system designed to reject it was a form of self-abandonment. What does this shift look like? It's the end of the good morning text that gets left on read. It's the decision to stop being the sole architect of every weekend plan, the one who always has to initiate. It's the man who stops trying to fix her bad day, not because he doesn't care, but because he's learned his solutions are often met with resentment. He is no longer analyzing her replies, trying to decipher cryptic messages, or wondering what he did wrong. He has stopped participating in the chase, not because he's lazy, but because the chase has become an endless loop of validation seeking that never leads to genuine connection. This withdrawal of energy is often mistaken for apathy, but it is the conscious conservation of his own energy. He has stopped asking for directions from people who have no interest in where he's going. In this new space, a profound realization occurs. The absence of her validation isn't a void, it's a relief. The peace he finds in not needing her approval is more satisfying than the fleeting high of ever getting it. He discovers that when he stops pouring energy into a bottomless pit of external validation, he has a surplus left over for himself. This is the substitution. He deletes the dating apps and focuses on his gym membership. He trades the anxiety of late-night texts for the clarity of a good book. He invests in his work, his hobbies, his own mind. The drama of will she or won't she is replaced by the certainty of his own purpose. He's no longer a placeholder in her story. He is the protagonist of his own. He didn't just stop chasing love. He finally started choosing his own sanity. Let's diagnose the core of this withdrawal, because the energy stopped flowing for a reason. The fundamental unspoken contract of effort and appreciation was broken. Masculine effort, what generations before called character, consistency, or reliability, has been systematically recategorized. It's been labeled in no uncertain terms as the bare minimum. This isn't just a catchy phrase, it's a psychological kill shot. It is a mechanism that reframes consistent, often difficult effort as simply the expected invisible entry fee. It implies that his contribution is not a gift of his energy, but an obligation, one that holds no actual weight in the final equation. He's not failing the test. He's realizing the test is designed so that his best efforts score a zero before the evaluation even begins. When you're told that your sacrifice, your time, and your energy are nothing more than the ground floor, you eventually stop trying to build the house. The very foundation of his effort was turned to sand. This devaluation isn't abstract. It's visible in the daily micro-interactions of modern dating. It's the man who opens a car door, a simple act of respect, only to be met with an eye roll or accused of performing some kind of outdated ritual. It's the man who plans a thoughtful, complex date, who pays for the meal, only to feel like he was just the functional accessory, the wallet that made the Instagram story of the food possible. He's the provider, but he's not the prize. His kindness is misinterpreted as weakness, and his stability is labeled as boring. He has been quietly demoted from being the potential partner to being a temporary placeholder. He's the functional utility guy who provides stability until the excitement she actually craves arrives. This mismatch between the effort offered and the value assigned creates a cognitive dissonance that eventually must break. When a man's best efforts are consistently met with indifference or worse, mockery, he eventually asks himself the most dangerous question a man in this position can ask. What is the point? Why strive to provide when provision is seen as the bare minimum? Why strive for consistency when consistency is seen as boring? Why strive for kindness when kindness is seen as a weakness to be exploited? This isn't a question he asks in anger. He asks it in the cold, quiet clarity of complete exhaustion. And when he looks at the modern dating equation, the answer that comes back to him is clear. There is no point. The math doesn't work. The investment yields no returns. It's a psychological black hole. And that, right there, is the moment the energy transfer becomes permanent. It is the pivot point where he stops trying to invest his energy externally for validation that will never come. But you must understand that energy did not disappear. It was simply redirected. Energy, by its nature, flows to where it is respected and where it creates measurable results. It flows to the one place where the equation is clean, himself. It goes into the gym, where every single rep builds tangible muscle. It goes into his career, where every hour of deep focus builds measurable success. It goes into his craft, his hobbies, his mind, the places where the bare minimum doesn't exist, and where extraordinary effort is the only thing that matters. He stopped trying to build a shared castle on sand and started building his own fortress on bedrock. He is no longer trying to earn the title of good man from someone who doesn't know what that means. He is simply becoming a strong man for himself. And in that fortress of his own making, he finds a reward far more valuable than the validation he was chasing. Peace, not love, is the ultimate prize. The devaluation of effort we just discussed doesn't happen in a vacuum. It is the direct and inevitable result of the system we are all forced to operate within. The entire landscape of modern connection has been terraformed by social media and dating apps. What was once a search for human connection has been algorithmically replaced by a ruthless, high-speed competition. This is the great illusion. You think you are participating in dating, but you are actually participating in a digital marketplace. People are no longer people. They are products arranged on a digital storefront, reduced to a few optimized photos and a carefully crafted bio. You are not meeting someone. You are window shopping. This fundamental shift from human interaction to digital transaction is the invisible engine driving the exhaustion. It is a system that, by its very design, favors the superficial over the substantial and performance over presence. For the average man, this experience is not one of discovery. It is one of constant auditioning. He is no longer a person seeking another person. He is an applicant submitting a resume for a position he's not even sure exists. His value is instantly measured in static, two-dimensional metrics: his height, his job title, the perceived quality of his lifestyle, all before a single real word is spoken. He understands he is one of perhaps 100 profiles she will swipe through in the next 10 minutes, competing not just with other real men, but with the digital ghosts of photoshopped bodies, rented luxury cars, and lifestyle fantasies. The pressure is to perform value, not to build it. This turns every potential interaction into a high-stakes performance, an interview for a role. And the psychological toll of constantly trying to prove you are enough just to earn a simple reply is ultimately unsustainable. This marketplace also operates on what we must call an uneven attention economy. The rules of engagement and the psychological experience are not the same for everyone. Because of the platform's design, an average woman is often flooded with a volume of attention, likes, matches, messages, that is completely disconnected from real-world supply and demand. This creates a powerful, addictive illusion of infinite choice. She isn't just comparing a man to the other men in her town. She is comparing him to an endless, algorithm-fueled buffet of idealized options. This dynamic creates the paradox of choice. When you believe you have infinite options, you struggle to value any single one of them. The validation is constant, but the connection is non-existent. It's a system that incentivizes everyone to keep swiping for the better option, ensuring no one ever feels truly or finally chosen. The man looks at this entire system, this digital competition, this endless performance, this uneven economy, and he arrives at the only sane mathematical conclusion. The game is unwinnable. The cost of admission, which is his sanity and self-respect, is simply too high for the prize, which is a connection that rarely feels genuine. The illusion of infinite choice doesn't lead to happiness. It leads to paralysis, emptiness, and disconnection. And so he makes the most logical move available. He deletes the apps. He signs off. He voluntarily removes himself from the marketplace that devalued him. This isn't a rage quit. It is a profound act of self-preservation. He's not rejecting people. He's rejecting the system that turns people into products. When he closes that app, he's not just a man giving up on dating, he is a person finally finding himself. When a man first steps out of the chaotic marketplace of modern dating, the first thing he notices is the silence. And at first, that silence is jarring. It feels empty. He's been conditioned for so long to equate noise with connection and drama with passion that the absence of conflict feels like a void. He finds himself checking his phone, not out of habit, but out of a neurological withdrawal from the constant dopamine hits of anxiety and anticipation. But then, after a few weeks, something profound happens. The jarring silence stops feeling empty and starts feeling clean. It's the clean, quiet air after a violent storm. He realizes he's not walking on eggshells anymore. There are no cryptic texts to decipher, no emotional minefields to navigate, no unspoken rules he's accidentally breaking. The constant low-level hum of anxiety that he mistook for love is simply gone. This is when he redefines what peace actually means. He learns that peace is not the passive absence of conflict. It is the active presence of control. It is the sovereignty he feels over his own emotional state. It's the profound realization that he is the only person in his apartment responsible for the emotional atmosphere. He can sit and read a book without being interrupted by manufactured drama. He can make a simple meal for himself without it being a negotiation. This newfound solitude is not a punishment. He realizes it is a recovery. It is the psychological equivalent of an overworked muscle finally being allowed to rest and heal. He is no longer reacting to the world. He is observing it. He is no longer managed by someone else's moods. He is anchored by his own stability. This control, this emotional autonomy, is the most addictive feeling he has ever known. And this is where the real work begins. He uses this peace not as a couch, but as a foundation. He starts to build. He fills the space that drama used to occupy with purpose. He's the man you see in the gym at 10 p.m. Not to build a body for someone else's approval, but to build his own discipline. He's the man in his small apartment, finally learning to cook a complex meal, not for a date, but for the simple, profound pleasure of nourishing himself. He's the man who takes that long drive on a Saturday, not to escape, but to simply be present. He invests in his craft, reads the books he never had time for, and reconnects with friends he was told were bad influences. He is actively, methodically, and joyfully building a life that he, himself, enjoys living. He is creating an existence so well anchored that it no longer needs an external validation to feel complete. This transformation creates a new kind of man. He's not bitter. He's not broken. In fact, he's more healed than ever. He is calm. He is self-contained. He is, in a word, untouchable, not because he's arrogant, but because his peace is no longer up for negotiation. He might want companionship in the future, but he will never need it at the expense of his own sanity again. He has learned the hard way that the cost of his own peace is non-negotiable. Any future relationship will not be two broken halves trying to complete each other. It will be a partnership where his primary goal is to protect the peace he has worked so hard to build. This solitude isn't the absence of love. It's the space where real, grounded self-love finally begins. As this man begins to reclaim his own sanity, he encounters an immediate and vicious paradox. The same culture that exhausted him now attempts to punish him for his withdrawal. He finds himself caught in a perfectly designed psychological trap. If he participates in the chase, trying to prove his worth in the marketplace, he is often labeled toxic or desperate. But the moment he steps back, the moment he conserves his energy and chooses his own peace, he is hit with a different set of labels. He is bitter. He is broken. He is unavailable. He discovers that in this system, there is no acceptable move for a man who isn't actively participating in his own devaluation. The pursuit is criticized, but the withdrawal is condemned. It's a no-win scenario designed to keep him performing, to shame him back into the game he just escaped. This criticism exposes the profound double standard at the heart of the modern dynamic. A woman who sets high standards, who knows her worth and refuses to settle, is celebrated as empowered, strong, and selective. Her boundaries are seen as an act of self-respect. Yet, when a man does the exact same thing, when he observes the market, recognizes the high cost of entry, and respectfully opts out, he is not seen as empowered. He is shamed. His boundaries are not called self-respect. They are called bitterness. His selectivity is not called knowing his worth. It is called immaturity or fear of commitment. This hypocrisy is the system's last line of defense. It is an attempt to weaponize social pressure to force him back into a role he has already refused. It's not equality. It's a manipulation tactic. But here is the fatal miscalculation that the system makes. These shaming tactics, calling him bitter, broken, or worse, they have lost their power. They are completely, utterly ineffective. And do you know why? Because you cannot shame a man who is no longer asking for your approval. You cannot manipulate a man whose primary source of validation comes from his own purpose. You cannot guilt trip a man who has already chosen his own peace. All these accusations are designed to hit a nerve, to trigger the fear of rejection, but that nerve is dead. He already faced the rejection and found that on the other side, it wasn't rejection at all. It was freedom. The insults are like arrows shot at a fortress. They just bounce off, revealing more about the archer than the target. His peace is his armor. So when this man hears these criticisms, He doesn't hear an accusation. He hears a confirmation. He hears the sound of a system raging against someone who just unplugged from its control matrix. He is not broken. He is, perhaps for the first time, healed. He is not bitter. He is clear. He has traded the anxiety of the chase for the calm of his craft. He has traded the performance of validation for the reality of his own strength. The man who is unavailable is not unavailable to connection. He is simply unavailable to drama, to manipulation, and to self-abandonment. They accuse him of having stopped playing the game. And he quietly agrees, because he knows that when the game itself is rigged, the only way to truly win is to stop playing. And when he did that, he finally started living. This withdrawal, in the end, must be understood for what it truly is. Not an act of revenge, but an act of survival. It is not a rejection of women. It is a rejection of a system that profits from pitting men and women against each other in a digital arena. These men are not walking away to punish anyone. They are walking away to save themselves. They are the generation that finally realized that chasing external validation is a guaranteed path to internal collapse. The great discovery of this silent retreat is that the peace they found is not just the absence of noise. It is the presence of self-respect. It is the profound, unshakable feeling of finally liking the person you are when you are completely alone. It is the end of the performance. It is the realization that his own sanity is, and always was, the most valuable asset he ever had. He's not walking away from love. He's walking toward a life he doesn't need to escape from. So this new man is not the one you'll find in the chaotic, validation-hungry spaces that exhausted him. He is not in the DMs, he is not in the nightclubs, and he is not on the apps. You will find him in the quiet places, the places of purpose. You will find him in the gym, in the garage, turning a wrench, in a small apartment, reading or writing, or on a long drive with no destination. He is focused on his mission, building his body, his career, and his mind, not for an audience, but for himself. He has become the architect of his own existence, a man who finds his identity in creation, not in reception. He has learned that while love is a beautiful possibility, his purpose is a life-sustaining necessity. He has built a fortress of self-respect so solid that he will never again tear it down just to give someone else a temporary shelter. This does not mean he is closed to love. It means he is finally ready for the right kind of it. His new model for connection is not based on the old broken script of codependency, validation-seeking, or chaotic passion. His new model is one of mutual peace. He is looking for someone who is also a fortress, someone who has also done the work, who also values their own sanity, and who sees a relationship not as a way to complete each other, but as a space to protect each other. It is two calm, anchored energies coming together to defend their mutual peace from the chaos of the outside world. He didn't reject women. He rejected the system. He didn't give up. He healed. And in choosing himself, in choosing his purpose, and in choosing his own mind, he found the one thing the game never offered: his sanity.